Speaking the truth in love, we must grow in every way into him who is our head, into Christ. Amen. Today again, we are reading from a section of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. What is helpful is to realize in writing of this letter, Paul calls himself a prisoner in the Lord. He is writing this letter from prison in Rome to the people of Ephesus. Many of Paul's other letters, like that to the Corinthians or the Galatians, take on specific issues uniquely facing those communities. In this letter from prison, Paul is taking on general topics of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Something about sitting in prison helps focus the mind for Paul. He had time to think about what is really important to the messages to those churches he founded around the Mediterranean Sea. As such, this letter speaks directly to us today, as it did to the church in Ephesus. He is writing about the importance of living in community and how best to do so. He is also calling the church and us to a deeper maturity in our faith. He is inviting us to become grown-ups and setting aside those things that divide us and seek after spiritual gifts of humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. Our faith matures when we concern ourselves with the building up of the whole body of Christ and using these gifts we've been given for that purpose. So the central question for me in this passage is, how have you or I grown in our Christian life since we came to faith in Jesus Christ? The latter half of Ephesians makes clearer that spiritual growth primarily occurs in community with others. You and my Christian walk, that is our daily life, is to be characterized by unity, holiness, love, wisdom, and perseverance, and to exercise these gifts in community. I'm called to set aside those things that may seem important to me to allow the good of the larger community to be served and to grow in the love of Christ. Paul says we must no longer be children, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in every way into him who is our head. We are to grow into Christ. We are united by Christ into one body, each part working properly to promote the growth and building up the body itself in love. Excuse me, I have something in my eye. I'm sorry. Personal maturity yields benefits in believers' moral lives, but it extends far beyond that as well. Increased maturity benefits the community at large, leading us as Christians to present a more consistent witness to the working of God in our lives, as well as protecting us from harmful divisions and quarrels that plague so many communities throughout history. Paul's central focus is always community. The purpose for us as individuals is always to concern ourselves with the good of the whole. And we are given the power to mature as believers by the divine that already abides in us, as I talked about last week. The divine who was present in Jesus when he walked this earth is also just as present in each of us. We have access to the power of God within us just as Jesus did. Theologian Pierre Teilhard de Chardin says, by means of all created things without exception, the divine assails us. It penetrates us and molds us. We imagined it as distant and inaccessible, when in fact we are steeped in its burning rays. Through this divine power of God's Spirit alive in us, we are able to grow in maturity and use the gifts we've been given for building up the body of Christ. Our gospel passage today immediately follows the miracle of the loaves and fishes of the feeding of the 5,000 we heard last week. The people want Jesus in order to continue to fill their bellies. Yet in today's passage, Jesus points the crowd to something more enduring and important. Like Paul's letter to the Ephesians, this passage of John's gospel calls us to spiritual maturity. Jesus is inviting us to go deeper, to become mature in following him. He switches the topic of feeding the 5,000 to himself as the living bread. He is the bread come down from heaven that provides real food, which God provides for the life of the world. Jesus urges those gathered to seek the higher gifts, to follow his ways of self-emptying and radical hospitality and love. This all sounds good, but what does spiritual maturity look like in real life ways? And here I want to share an important ongoing story that I have witnessed personally in a member of my own family, namely my sister-in-law, Lori Kolanowski. Just this past Wednesday, my brother Tim called to say they are at the end of the road and are stopping all treatment and bringing Lori home with hospice. The doctor said she has 4 to 6 weeks left. What I want to share with you is my last visit with Lori. For background, my sister-in-law is a lot of fun. She's great to be around and has a wicked sense of humor. However, over the 40 years I've known her, I've seen her time and time again back out of family gatherings. She always seems to have a headache or some excuse when it comes time to attend the family events. In all those years, my parents, who live just a mile away, rarely have been invited to Tim and Lori's home. Since her illness, coupled with my mother and her own father's death, Lori has gained a spiritual maturity that I never saw in her. Last October, I officiated at a wedding of a nephew in Indianapolis. Lori, who had just come out of her first battle with cancer, was able to attend. When I saw her, I was stunned. She was always quite heavy and had lost a lot of weight and looked exactly like my mother. It was odd, yet she was comfortable talking about it. She says every time she looks in the mirror, she sees my mother looking back, and she feels a close connection to her. When I visited Lori in the hospital in June, she broke down and said how much she regretted that she didn't do more to care for my mother in her illness. After years of not caring deeply for my parents, she cried that she didn't do more to help my dad and my brother with my mother's care. Also during this time, her own father, a very sweet man who was never religious, never attended church, asked to be baptized and did so simply days before he died. 3 days after his baptism, he received last rites, and the next day he died. These experiences of her dad and my mom, coupled with her own illness, have helped Lori mature spiritually. And it was amazing to hear her speak on that level. She was given the grace to find healing between her and my dad and discovered what is really important in life, which is the healing of the community within our family. So as she now moves toward death herself, she does so with a deep peace. I give thanks for the spiritual growth and maturation in faith of my sister-in-law, who for most of her life couldn't see or value the things she has now discovered as precious. The way to maturity in spiritual growth is the pathway of Jesus, a pathway that is characterized by unity, holiness, love, wisdom, and perseverance. A path in which we are called, like Jesus, to empty ourselves for others, and in doing so, experience an abundance of outpouring of love. A love that helps us mature into the members of Christ's body and, as Paul says, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.